Good evening, family of Gate Ministries, Durban South. I greet you all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to take this time to thank all of you for remaining faithful to the Lord and to our local household. We remain strong as a family because we have built steadfast amidst many trials. So we salute you, saints of God, for your love, your faithfulness, and your dedication to the Lord. On behalf of Pastor Ivan and myself, I take this opportunity in wishing every family in advance a very blessed and joyous 2021. We love you immensely. The year has raced along without us having much time to gather. The lockdown compressed the year even further. On New Year's Eve 2019, we all looked forward to 2020, and we didn't plan on the way the year went. This New Year's Eve, we are looking forward to 2021, but frankly, what if it is more challenging than 2020? Where does our hope lie in? It must always be stayed in Christ. The Apostle Peter tells us to set our hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ and His second coming. We set our hope on the return of Christ and not on economies or nations, the virus, the vaccine, or even the mark of the beast. Revelation 12:12 tells us, "Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time." Satan is on a warpath, and that his days he knows are numbered. His time is up, and whatever he must do, he has to do it very quickly. Just from the above, and from all the calamities that we see going around us, the plagues, pestilences, viruses, natural disasters, and the likes, everything is spiraling totally out of control. It's almost like watching a movie. Satan can do many things, but he cannot do all things. And that's because God is sovereign and he will not permit him to do everything. He has limited power and authority. Remember, saints of God, there are more angels of God that are for us, that protect us, that are guiding us, than demon angels that represent Satan. So we must always be aware that there is help for us. And the present warfare that is going on, that many of us are not aware of, is phenomenal. There is a spiritual battle going on, a battle between good and evil. But understand, Satan is a defeated foe. He was defeated at the cross. His fate has been sealed and determined already. God has given and pronounced his verdict. It's only a matter of when. That is the reason why all the events that are taking place on the earth right now are in such quick succession. It's because the devil realizes and he knows that he has limited time to accomplish all that he must do. In Revelation 12:17, the Bible tells us, "And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Can you see this? His attacks are very personal. He is enraged. He's infuriated and angry with the woman, and therefore goes to make war with the woman, which is the church, the offspring and the remnant of Christ, which keeps the commandments of God. This is a good place to understand and know why so many believers are plagued by this coronavirus. The enemy wishes to wipe out the seed. The agenda of the dragon is to target the woman, the church, you and I as believers in his frontal assault. That's why Peter would say in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 and 9, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Be steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." Jesus also said in Luke chapter 10 verse 19, that he gave us the authority to trample on serpents. He gave us all authority over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. We need to trust in this word, even if we have lost a loved one. It means that we are not being hurt. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Revelation 12:11 says, "We overcame and we overcome, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death." So the word makes it clear that in the Lord's Prayer, as well as in Matthew 6:13, where it says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." This means that we are in a war. For yours is the kingdom. The power is all powerful in Christ. Satan's power is limited. So, beloved, times have changed, and we will begin to see more change more rapidly as the days go by. Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum is talking about introducing the Great Reset. And there are many things that are being reset. Our focus is not going to hinge on what the agenda of the world is introducing, as the word tells us that all these things will happen. And all these cautions to us should not be making us fearful. God holds the entire earth in his hand, and we as the church should remain satisfied that we are secure because all is in the Father's hand. God has put his word in our mouth, and like John the Baptist, we become a voice crying in the wilderness. John the Baptist did not say, "I have a voice." He said, "I am the voice." When the word of God has become so real in you that you are one with it, then you not only have a word, but you are a voice for God. That is exactly what we need to become. We need to become a voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." The great reset and new normal for the church must now shift away from the way church always used to be done. And the new emphasis is on Christ's heartbeat, his own compassion, the winning of souls. "He that wins souls is wise," the Bible tells us. "He wills that none should perish." So we should and embrace what God does, that none should perish. Let's not focus on the elite's will, in political authorities, in secret place, resetting this world into an economic political system that they desire it to be, which is their new normal. That's what is playing out in the media, signs of which we are seeing and hearing everywhere in the world. Generations have been socially engineered for years to readily accept this reset. From entertainment, culture, and educational systems, all have prepared the public to receive it. Do not get accustomed to living in their mirage. There is a world they are creating for you to live in. It creates dependencies on them. God has asked and instructed us to do otherwise. God Almighty, in his original plan, did not design man to live from world systems. In Genesis 1:28, God designed man to produce and have abundance and to be fruitful and multiply. Our only dependency is a need for God. The system that the rulers of this world are creating is designed to make people subservient and dependent on their policies and not on Jesus Christ. A lack and poverty mindset will distract us from the purposes of God. God's purposes and plans require us to have influence, dominion, and credibility. And that's what the kingdom of God will unlock in us. So in the natural and behind the scenes, there is a great reset that is taking place. What the devil has intended for our evil, God has turned around. Man in his fear has started aligning himself back to God. Like the Ephesian church, many are returning to their first love. The church is now being perfected as a bride. People are walking away from sin, forgiving one another, loving once again. The Great Commission has become alive. And that is what God wants us to do. The global economic meltdown is a schemed crisis, creating opportunities for the dark world forces to set up a new world order. They needed to collapse the free market economy so that they can reset it to the system they desire. Sustainable, inclusive capitalism is what it's called. Are you awake yet? But we don't focus on this. Our hope and trust is and must be in the Lord. The Lord will have His own reset button on His people. The reset is a resetting of things once set and ordained by God. And now for some reason, they were removed or changed out of His order. God wants to restore His set things back into your life. A reset is a setting again. It was once set, but it was removed out of its setting. God has an ordained purpose for you. He has a place for you. Those of you who have moved out of your place and out of your setting, the Spirit of God desires to reset your life and restore you, whether it's your calling, your family, your business or ministry. He wants to restore you to Himself. God Almighty wants to reset your heart's desires. He wants to reset your priorities. He wants to reset your vision and reset your purpose. The Holy Spirit is challenging you today. It's time to wake up. When you reset an alarm, you reset your time to wake up. Let's wake up in God's reset. A reset is also to readjust. We only readjust after something has failed, and we need to reassess and rethink it. We go back to the beginning. For example, in a computer malfunction, you only press the reset button when your computer freezes or stalls for long periods. This clears running and pending errors that are stalling the system, and it resets the computer to start normally. That's what God desires to do in your life in this season. Man has strayed really far. God wants to remove errors and sin. No more delays. This resetting is urgent. You only have the choice to make it optional. I pray that there will be a demand placed for change. No options given, but only a one-way drive, God's way. The reset is an awakening to the original purposes of God. It's a divine order. In the medical arena, when a bone is broken or a joint is out of place, it needs to be reset. In biblical terms, it's the word repent from the word metanuos in the Greek, which means to straighten out, to change the way we think. Orthopedic, bringing it out straight. We are the body of Christ. And when things are out of alignment, when things are not in their right setting, it causes disarray and disorder. God wants to reset things in culture, churches, in lives, and place them in His divine order so that His will can be accomplished once again. It's time to make the shift, beloved. Resetting is to restore. When this spiritual reset occurs, it demands that you have to make the shift. Many transitions are taking place right now on a global scale. There's power shifts, currency shifts, economic shifts, and all types of shifts. What do you have to do in the natural is to make the necessary shifts by the leading of the Holy Spirit to safeguard your future from what these dark world forces are seeking to achieve with their reset. Beloved, whether you like it or not, it's coming. They're deciding for you. How much are you going to earn? How life is going to be with you and your family's future? And what will your needs be? They're deciding for you right now. They're resetting this world. It's a good time to allow yourself right now to be reset by God. It's time for us to move from a consumption-only mentality to a productivity mentality. One of the transitions that is vital for us to make is to shift from this consumption-only living to a productivity or production living. It is a conscious change from need-based living to now embrace kingdom purpose living. We have to go from a slave mindset to a kingly mindset. There is a shaking in the world that's taking place for a reason. These things are not being done because somebody just chooses to have fun. There's a strategic agenda behind it. It's time for us, the church, to reset and shift. We need to reset our thinking. We need to become producers and not just consumers. There has to be a turning point, and that turning point is now. If the reset is this turning point in history, historical things are happening right now. We were born for such a time as this, as the book of Esther will say. We will be the people that will carry the voice of God in this time to the ends of the earth. People are dying all over with no hope. Many are going to a Christless eternity every single day. So many people are still having all their rituals. You will be reset to function properly. Line upon line, precept upon precept, and in divine order. Let's focus on that again. These are deep words that must be embedded in our spirit. Divine order, a proper place, line upon line, precept upon precept. God wants us not to fear at this time. Not all is lost, for God will restore. Indeed, He will restore everything that the cankerworm has eaten, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, and the locust. His grace and His mercy are sufficient for us, sufficient to keep us from falling. This is the time where we get our priorities restored. It will allow us to allow Him to set our priorities right. His anointing will begin to increase in us, because He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the Lord, and there is none other beside Him. He is our hope. He is our strength. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. We need to set our face upon Him and not on the world, its circumstances, the people that are doing all the planning right now. We set our face upon Him, and He will set His face upon us. How do we allow God to reset our life? Firstly, we have to walk in obedience to Him. No matter what, we have to be obedient to His voice. We will hear only what the Good Shepherd speaks. We will listen and be obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Secondly, we have to vow to the Lord that irrespective of what happens in our lives, we will always remain faithful to God. We will remain faithful no matter what the situation, no matter the circumstances, no matter what the devil brings on. We will be faithful to our calling. We will be faithful in our responsibilities. We will be faithful to our ministry. We will be faithful to the Holy Spirit. And most of all, we will be faithful to one another. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can reset our priorities. We also need to humble ourselves before God. We must vow to remain humble. We need to do that now. We need to lift up our voices and say, Lord, make me humble. No matter what, I will never become prideful. I will never become stinking with pride. Make me humble before you, Lord. To be exalted is to be abased. The way up is the way down. Because we're going to allow the Lord to reset us. We're going to allow blessings to increase in us. The good news is no matter what we find going around us, God has checkmate the enemy's move in the present coronavirus crisis. The enemy's plan was to release calamity on the earth, but God strategically incorporated this virus in His plan to bring forth transformation to the entire world. The people of God have been in prayer, in intercession, in groanings and expectation for a big move of God for years. And God has listened, and now He's answering with the big reset that God is bringing. This is the precursor to a great awakening and a great ingathering of souls into the kingdom of God. The world was going off the rails, we must admit. It was on a trajectory towards destruction, running to and fro, as the book of Daniel will put it, and as I would say, wobbling like a drunkard. The emotional temperature in the world was at an ugly boiling point as the gods of this world gained in sphere and power. But our God, Jehovah Yahweh, God is using what the enemy planned for evil as His global reset. Isaiah 42 verse 13 to 17 says, "The Lord will march out like a champion, like a warrior. He will stir up His zeal. With a shout He will raise the battle and cry and will triumph over His enemies. For a long time, I have kept silent. I have been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out. I gasp and I pant. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them." I believe, beloved, it is important that we take full advantage of this time God has given us to examine our lives, to get rid of those non-essentials and recognize what is important. In rest, we will hear more clearly from God, the strategies that He wants to implement, and the intercessory initiatives that will give birth to them. This is the time to draw close to God and to fine-tune our spiritual senses. Let us allow our ears to be circumcised, our eyes to become circumcised, to have an X-ray vision, to be able to see clearly what God is showing us. The entire chapter of Hebrews 12 is well worth studying at this time. It is in this chapter that God tells us not to take it lightly when we are being disciplined by Him, or to even grow weary under it, because Him who the Father loves, He disciplines. In verses 26 and 29 of Hebrews 12, God warned us that He would shake everything that could be shaken. But we must take note, His reasoning, it is for the removal of things that can be shaken. Why? In order that the things that cannot be shaken might remain, that we may offer to Him acceptable worship with reverence and awe. He is a consuming fire, and He will consume sin out of our lives and ultimately out of the world. God is releasing many prayer strategies to His people to bring forth His agenda, His plans and His purposes in this time. It's a time that the Lord has given us a strategy that we must be able to consider what's happening around us. He's given us dunamis power, energy, and internal combustion that will explode and empower His move to break out and to launch. I pray for that in 2021, every one of us will launch out into the deep. During these times, it is important to know how to pray. It's time to fight God's way. There has been much misconception when it comes to spiritual realities. Greater knowledge and understanding of spiritual warfare are important features of the Christian walk. We have to understand the spiritual warfare. We can go to Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 12 to 18 and read about that, because God has given us weapons on how to engage. The prince of this world comes, but he has nothing on us, because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. The Bible speaks about this warfare, and it is our source for all understanding, that the scripture refers to the Lord as the host of hosts 235 times. The word host means armies. He is the Lord of armies, both in heaven and in earth. We are enlisted in the army of God when we get saved and have a fierce army, whether we understand that or not. For we do not fight flesh and blood, but rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, every piece of God's armor is required. At the core of spiritual warfare is understanding our identity as a son of God. Once we understand this identity, We must understand that sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. God will take us to these places. Every spiritual and physical entity is created and subject to the full sovereignty of God. These created beings have power for two reasons. The first is that God has ordained judgment on all rebellion and disobedience from the very beginning. And demons have legal right to function in this environment of sin. You can read that in Deuteronomy 28. However, God has given us humanity, the right to choose our own course. In Deuteronomy 30:19, it says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. We have the right to choose life. We have been born again. We have dynamic spirits that are fully regenerated by the Holy Spirit. God takes our souls through the process of sanctification and cleansing in order to remove all worldly mindsets, demonic strongholds, effects of past trauma, ungodly beliefs. Even as Christ has purchased the whole person with his blood, he owns us fully. We may not have given him all the allegiance, but now we come to him knowing that he will make all things beautiful in his time. Spiritual warfare is very different than warfare in the natural. Therefore, we need to put on this armor that God has given us. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once our obedience is complete. 2 Corinthians 10 from verse 3 to 6. So the battleground ultimately is for the mind of a man, for who we will serve and give our allegiance to. When our obedience is complete and the Lordship of Christ is firmly established in our lives, we have great authority to demolish the enemy's plans and his schemes in our personal lives, in our marriages, in our homes, in our churches, in our families, in our neighborhoods. And having overcome with our personal issues, we can stand in a posture of obedience and strength in a corporate setting, one body, one voice, to fight for our communities, our cities and our nations, because so many people are dying every single day. I want to encourage us with something from Colossians chapter 4 verse 17. I want to focus a little bit on Archippus. Perhaps he was Philemon's and Apphia's son, or perhaps a leader in that congregation. When Paul calls Philemon a fellow worker, a term he uses often of solid, faithful co-workers in the gospel. Archippus, he singles out as a fellow soldier, a fighter, a comrade in arms. Perhaps he's a vigorous young man, zealous in the work of the Lord, who reminds Paul of a soldier, single-minded devotion to duty. We don't know. Archippus is mentioned a second time in Colossians 4:17, probably written about the same time as a letter to Philemon. There's a special message that Paul, now in prison, wants to relay to this earnest young soldier for Christ. Say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. In the NIV it says, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. And in the NJB version, it says, remember the service that the Lord has assigned to you and try to carry it out. This exhortation has three important elements for us to observe as we enter 2021. First and foremost, we must understand we are soldiers. We have a ministry assignment. First, Paul speaks of a ministry. It means a work, a task. The Greek noun is diakonia, from which we get the word deacon. It means service, ministry, office, assignment. Paul is speaking of an assignment Perhaps a church office, a ministry mission, or a special calling of some kind that has been placed before Archippus. So each of us have to understand that we have a ministry assignment. Not a single one of us should be complacent and happy to be doing nothing. We will be disqualified before God because God has put into us His word. The Great Commission is given to every single one of us. We have a ministry assignment. Secondly, we must understand that this assignment is received from the Lord. The implication is that the ministry or calling has been given by the Lord directly, perhaps in a prophetic word, and acknowledged and accepted by Archippus as valid. Paul has a similar exhortation to Timothy. He says to him in 1 Timothy 4:14, "Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy, when the council of elders lay their hands on you." So you might say to me, "I did not get a word of prophecy. Nobody spoke into my life. I do not know whether I have received from the Lord." Remember the Great Commission again. It's a sending principle. When the word says go, it means Christ has already sent us. We do not need somebody to speak into our life. The word confirms that we have already been sent. The third thing is to be filled in obedience and faith. Paul exhorts this young man. He says, "See to it that you fulfill or complete this ministry." The verb means to make full. Here, probably to bring to completion that which was already begun, to complete or to finish. There can't be a hesitation. Archippus is a sturdy soldier for the gospel, faithful in his congregation. But there is something God has called him to do that he is hesitating to enter into. What is preventing him? We aren't told that. Perhaps it is fear that he isn't worthy or inadequate to the task. Perhaps it's an unwillingness to pay the price in personal cost, strained relationships, perhaps even outright persecution if he were to go forward. Perhaps other pressing matters have gotten in the way and he has put off following through on this assignment that has come from the Lord. What is it that's putting you off today? Is it too much of the world demanding your time? Whatever it is, Archippus' priorities have gotten skewed and he needs a reminder, a gentle push in the right direction. May this message give you a gentle push in the right direction so that we can step up and get to a place where God wants us to get to. God forgives us for hesitating, for putting off His direction. He speaks to us again and again. He calls you to step up. You shouldn't wallow in regret. You can't change the past. You can't undo what has already been done. But you can come to the Lord today and say, "Lord, forgive me for hesitating. What is the assignment that you have for me now in this time of my life? I want to do it. I want to follow you fully. I am ready to step forward." And as you pray this prayer, I can see a smile forming on God's lips. He sees a child who is maturing in the kingdom. He sees a beloved son and a daughter who is stepping up to be the disciple he or she has been called and nurtured to become. No, we know that we can't change the past. And with the passing of time, the exact assignment may have changed somewhat. But if we consult the Lord, He will refresh it for us. We need to talk to the Lord, inquire of Him. What is our best ability? We can go forward with the Lord's direction into the ministry and the task that He has set before you, knowing that He will walk beside you and help you. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, "He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it." Colossians 4:17. So, I'd like to submit to you, our modern day Archippus. I pass on Paul's exhortation to you right now. See that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I pray, Father, that you would bless us, you would guide us, you would, Father, preserve us so that we can respond to what you have for us, Lord, this day and even going into 2021. I pray, Lord, that the spirit of fear will not remain in any heart, Lord, because your word says you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We understand, Lord, that fear paralyzes people. Fear weakens people. Right now, even with this virus, many immune systems are weakened because of fear. That is one strategy that the devil uses, fear. It started in the garden. And throughout the ages, Lord, fear has always gripped man. Whether in a good context or bad, every time the angel of the Lord appeared to Daniel, to John, and to any prophet, immediate response was fear. And Lord, you are to constantly remind us to not be afraid. Even right now, you're saying to us, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of 2021. Do not be afraid of what the world is holding. Because you hold the world, Lord. And as long as the world is held in your hands and the people held in your hands, we know that we have the strength of our God. So I bless you, family of God, that as you enter 2021, that fear will not grip you, that you will embark on some form of ministry that the Lord has given you. I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the blessed Holy Spirit.